Okay, we are up to, I started the recording. We are up to Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, four lines from the top, two dots, a line after it says Gemara. Hashus B'yadai says that if a person wants to be Miyabim all four, his brother, Rachman al-Utlan, his four brothers died without a child, and he wants to be Miyabim all four, he's allowed to. In fact, the Gemara B'shavkile, we let him do that? Meaning, how in the world is he going to support all of them? The Tanya we learned, the Karoloi Zitne Irai, that is the Zkenim of the city should call him, Hein V'loi Shluchan, they and not their Shliach. That the big machlokes what exactly that means. Some learn that it's Bezin's job directly to call the Yavam over. He cannot send messengers to talk to the Yavam about what's for him good to do, what to advise him to do. They take each case, and they themselves have to talk to the Yavam personally to tell him what they think is better for him. How is he going to feed all of them? So back to the Gemara. They and they're not their shliach. And they should speak to him. They give him an eitzah that's proper for him. If he's old and she's young, just the opposite. He's young and she's old. Or who's not giving he yelida? Or he's old and she's young. I remember we say, why do you want to have a wife that's so much younger or older than you? Stick to one that's next to you. And do not make an argument in your house. Age gap makes for arguments. And therefore, we see that we advise what's good for him. So how in the world are we letting this guy? Again, it's clear that if he refuses our advice, he doesn't have to listen to us. We can only advise him. It's his mitzvah. But we advise him. Over here it seems that we're are supposed to be other, meaning we're not standing in his way. We're not suggesting otherwise. L'chaira, we should suggest that one man should not be miyabim four different wives, four different women. You're right. It is a very subjective decision. This allowance is only if he can afford it. Rashid, he's rich. And therefore, feeding four women is not going to be difficult for him. So providing for four women is not going to be hard for him. So why does the Mishnah say four? It should say a person should be miyab as many women as he can be miyab. Four, there's no significance to the number four. So why is the Mishnah picking the case of four? And for the Gemara, eight to type of Kamash Malan. I'm going to need a minute to explain this next Gemara because it's going to be an obvious question, so I'm going to take a minute to explain it. The Mishnah is giving us a good advice. Dalit in Tvei Light. That even if he can afford it, he should only be Miyabim four, not more. That each one should at least have a lot of time for a intimacy once a month. Rashi, Aina B'chaydash. Aina Shetamachachem Erev Shabbos by Erev Shabbos. The Aina B'chaydashim is from Friday to Friday. Friday night to Friday night. The Zashapuya Yitim B'itoi B'ksubas. We learned that a person gives his fruit in the time that's in Ksubas. The Mati L'chochad B'chadra Aina B'chaydash. Each one will get an Aina each once a month. Now the Rishayim have a question over here. The Rishayim's question in the Mukhi Yitzv asks, a person's Mechoyev Aina to every wife. What does that mean? If a person has, let's say he's a Talmud Chacham, and his Chiyav Aina is once a week, so therefore he's going to have four wives that only give one, each one once a month? Each one is entitled to once a week. If he has four wives, that's his problem, but he has to have Aina four times a week. What does the Gemara mean that we tell him four and not more because we don't want him to have less than one Aina a month? He should have as much Aina as his obligation is to each and every wife. Why are we saying that it depends on the that we're saying once a month? This is the kasha of the Rishayim. There seems to be two schools of thought. The Mugi Yisuf and others answer that Enochidami, if a person marries four wives, he's Mechuyim and Aina every single time. They have a second question here. Tamachachim is once a week. There were those that were more than once a week. There were those that were less than once a week. Why are we saying we're assuming that the guy's a Talmud Chacham, right? And therefore, it's once a month. I mean, he might be a Payol that's twice a week, So it's 8 times in 1 month that he would be mechoyev. And why do we, you know, saying once a month is enough? So the Ruchi Yosef answers as follows.
Isn't
Tamachachim
once a week?
Well, Tamachachim is once a week. But there are people that are more than once a week in Chiyuv. A pile less twice a week.
But it says once a month.
No. Again, this is the kasha they ask. Again, the Gemara seems to be saying that a person has 4 wives, right? He has 4 Yavamas. He can get away with once a month for each of them. Because the Tamachachim's ayin is once a week. So each week he will do one of the women. That's what the Gemara seems to be saying. Fret to the Book of Yosef, doesn't he have an obligation to each wife once a week? Why are we saying that each wife will only get once a month? That's what you're asking, right? That's the Book of Yosef's kasha. That's the kasha we're dealing with. So there are 2 schools of thought. The Book of Yosef answers that Yavama is different than a regular wife. Even though a regular wife, if a person marries multiple wives, he's chayiv and ayna to each and every one. As much as he's mechoyev, he can't say, I have 2 wives, so each one will get once every 2 weeks. He has to give each one once a week if he's a tamachachem. But since this is Isha Shehiknu Loi Min HaShemayim, this is a woman that they gave him in HaShemayim, and he didn't take this on his own, meaning he's doing the mitzvah the Torah made incumbent upon him. The Torah never made a mitzvah to marry multiple wives. Here, the Torah made it a mitzvah of Yibum. If you can afford it, you should do Yibum 4 times. They lessened the chiyav ayna, and they said that it's okay to combine the women and say that you can do as once a week for all of them together, meaning once a week for one and once a week for the other. But we don't want once less than a month, because it's not right to a woman to have to go once more than a month without intimacy. So really, the Nebuki Yaisu says, if a person marries 2 women, he's mechuyev and ayna to each and every one individually. We don't lump them together and say, okay, his ayna is once a week. He has 2 wives, so each one gets once every 2 weeks. No, we don't lump them together. But over here, it wasn't his decision to marry multiple wives. The Torah made it a mitzvah for him to marry multiple wives because he can afford it. So since he can afford it, it's a mitzvah for him to marry multiple wives. So since it's a mitzvah for him to marry multiple wives, they lessened the obligation of ayna. And they said, you can view all of them as one wife, but not more than 4, because it's not right to a woman not to have intimacy at least once a month. That's like, she deserves at least that much, so chazal or machayev, at least once a month. That's the Muki Yosef's approach. So according to the Muki Yosef, can I just finish? I'll be finished in 2 minutes. According to the Muki Yosef, this is a special halacha by Yavama that would not apply to a marriage. The Rambam, however, seems to learn that every woman that gets married realizes that her husband might marry other wives. And therefore, since he realizes that, she understands that her ayna will be dependent on the number of wives that he has. And that's what she's agreeing to whenever she enters a marital relationship. And therefore, by marrying Reuven, she's saying, Reuven, I trust you. You understand you have an obligation to me, but I understand that you can go and marry a second wife, and that will diminish the time of my intimacy. So there's a machloikas in the Muki Yosef here in the Rambam. Is this a special halacha by Yavama? That by Yavama we allow a diminishing of intimacy because he didn't have a real choice. He did have a choice, but it was a mitzvah for him to do Yibum. So therefore we can't obligate him to have Ayna with each one every week. But he's doing a mitzvah, so therefore we allow it once a month. Or is it by every wife? Every woman understands her husband might marry multiple women, and when she enters a marriage, is under the understands that her amount of intimacy she's going to have might depend on the number of women that he has. But we don't want one less than once a month, because once a month is something every woman deserves. Some of the Akhwanim use the term, it's a tsar for a woman to go a month without intimacy. Yes, Harvey.
The essence or a purpose of all of this is that he should try to have children with his brother's widow, correct? The brother didn't have children, and that's what he's... I understand that it's not stated, but this is what he's trying to... This is the essence of it, is it not?
Not necessarily. If the Yavama is 94 and the Yavama is 93, he still has a mitzvah. they'll never have children.
I know he's still required, but I mean, aside from the outlying cases, the purpose of this is to build up his late brother through children, is it not? And if it's not,
is where the reason is not the driving force of the mitzvah. We mentioned many times that the mitzvah is to live with her one time. And once he lived with her one time, he kept his mitzvah. Now, chances of her getting pregnant that first time is not that great. But that's the mitzvah. The Torah didn't obligate anymore. Now, once he marries her, he's married to her. So why should we assume he wants to get rid of her? But the reason behind the mitzvah doesn't define the mitzvah. It could be you're right. I'm not even sure if you're right that that's the purpose of the mitzvah, but let's say it is. That doesn't define the parameters of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to live with his yevama one time. He has accomplished whatever yevam has to accomplish by living with her one time. He has fulfilled his mitzvah. Now, once he lived with her one time, there's no reason for us to go now and say, okay, let's break up the marriage. No, we're not going to do that. We'll let them stay married. That's wonderful. But now he has a wife that he did because of the mitzvah. So therefore, Chazal lessened his obligations of Aina. That's what the Namuki Yisuf is saying.
I understand that. I knew it wasn't going to be the essence. I just wondered if that was a factor balancing against the frequency of Ona. That's all. Did they at least
take it at all?
Okay.
Now, obviously, if he's going to want to have children with her, he's not going to limit it to once a week, unless it happens to be the exact right. You know, I saw one of the Akwaitim say that he'll give each one the Aina right after she goes to the mikvah. So therefore, the chances are she will become, that's the best chance for her to become pregnant, because that's the time in a month that a woman ovulates. I saw one of the Akwaitim say that. But the Mishaitim don't say that. It's the Akwaitim say that. And that's true, they do say that. But they just say once a month is because that's her best chance of becoming pregnant. But, you know, again, the way the Rishayim explained it, Aina is a separate obligation. It's not an obligation to have children. It's an obligation to give a woman intimacy. And that obligation to give a woman intimacy is usually for Talmud Chacham once a week. But in this case, and they even say further, the worker, the employee, not the Talmud Chacham, whose Aina is twice a week, over here also would not have to do more than once a week. Because, again, Chazal decided that given the circumstance that he did this for a mitzvah, we are going to lessen his obligation of intimacy. Just make sure that each woman gets once a month.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Zakti Gemara Vayta. Is there Rashi? I don't think so. No Rashi. Zakti Gemara Vayta. Now, the Gemara is going to go through now a whole bunch of facts that we know, but the Gemara is going to provide the biblical source for all those halachas. Right? So the Mishnah said, Mishra Yenasui, L'shtei Nashim, right? The Mishnah said, two lines in the bottom on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, somebody married to two wives, and one of them died, and he died. The Biyar Chalitza of one of them takes care of the other one, meaning there is no mitzvah of Yibum, and as the Gemara is going to explain, there's no allowance of Yibum to more than one of the brother's wives. Also, no mitzvah of Chalitza, only to one of the brother's wives. Now, the Gemara is going to want to know, why not? Why can't he do Yibum to both? Why can't he do Chalitza to both? Why can't he do Yibum to one and Chalitza to the other? Where do we know that his mitzvah is not to deal with each one, that his mitzvah is to deal with one of them? That's going to be the Gemara's question, and the Gemara will bring sources in the Chumash that tell us that. Correct the Gemara. Why is there no mitzvah to do Yibum to both of them? Or why is there no allowance to do Yibum to both of them? That would be probably this better way of explaining the question. Because it says, this is what's done to a person who doesn't build his brother's house. So it says base. So we say base echad hu baina, ve'im baina shnei batim. He only is allowed to live with one of them, not even though his brother had, quote unquote, two houses, one house with one woman and one house with the other woman. I don't mean a physical structure. I mean a family with one and a family with the other. I don't mean with children either. But whatever you call a husband and wife, a unit with one and a unit with the other. And the Torah says, base, singular, to tell me that this is what happens when he doesn't build base. That means he's only allowed to build one, not two. Rashi? No Rashi. Zokta Gemara v'nechlut to tavayu. Maybe chalitza should be necessary for both. Amar marzutra, batuvya, amar kra, base chalutz hanol. Again, when they call him base chalutz hanol, the house of the one who removed the shoe. So we say again, singular, base echad hu bayi chalutz, vein chalutz shnei batim. He can only, the mitzvah is to do chalitza to one, not to do chalitza to two. Fresh the Gemara. Yes.
So your question? Why do we need a pasuk there? Why do we need a pasuk there? Don't we know once Yibum doesn't apply, Chalitza doesn't apply? Is there a link?
That's a great question. And the truth is, I believe Tysus asked your question. Tysus asked your question, I believe. I think it's a Tysus question. I just have to find. I don't remember exactly where it's definitely asked. I don't have a good answer. Fracting Gemara. Maybe the Torah wants him to do Yibam to one and still do Chalitza to the other. Amakra, Imla Yachvayt. The Torah says if he doesn't want to do Yibam, he does Chalitza. Hachafet, Yavam. The Torah only writes Chalitza only in the case when he had the option of doing Yibam, biblically. Now, we had exceptions. We had rabbinic exceptions when they don't allow you to do Yibam and require you to do Chalitza. We also had one exception by Haman LeKlein Gadol. But besides that has been the basic rule. If biblically a woman is not eligible for Yibam, she's not eligible for Chalitza either. And therefore, if the Torah said one Yibam, not two Yibam, then the Torah can't require one Yibam and one Chalitza. Because it's against the rules that the Torah said that you have to be able to have both options in order to do one. Zak Rashi, Kosh Eina Eila Liyibim, which means Sheina Skuka Liyibim, she's not bound for Yibim. Rachmana Patra, the Torah absolved her, Patra, the Siv, as base Akhir, base Echor, who bind the Velosh Nebatim. The Torah said, there's only a mitzvah of Yibim to one, not to more than one. Eina Eila Chalitza also does not go for Chalitza. V'yayid, now here the Gemara adds something which the Gemara will question. Shlayimru, beis miktsasei banoi miktsasei chalutz. This seems why the Rabbanan didn't require it. Why didn't the Rabbanan come along and say, do chalitza anyway? You know, cover all your bases. Do yibum to one, if you want, still do chalitza to the other. Nothing wrong. It's not an aveira. It's not a mitzvah. Because once it's einayil yibum, it's einayil chalitza. But why didn't the Rabbanan require it? Because they don't want people to say that part of the house is built and part of the house is not. What do you care? Let them say what they want. You did Yibam, you did your mitzvah, so people will say that you did Yibam to one and Chalitza to the other. What's so terrible? Dr. Gemara, if the order would have been Yibam and then Chalitza, we'd be comfortable with that. That would be wonderful. He could do Yibam, then he could do Chalitza. Not hurting anybody. Right, it's not a mitzvah, but maybe the Rabbanan should say he should do it. And Laduma Cholitz Vadamiyabim. Once you're allowing Chalitza and Yibum, even though the order you want is first Yibum and then Chalitza, people might reverse the order. And they might do Chalitza first and then Yibum. And that will make a problem. Because once he does Chalitza, he's not allowed to marry her. And, right, and as the Gemara is going to explain, because it's become lebe lo yivna. Just kibin shlebana shub lo yivna. There's a law. Once you didn't do yibum, you did chalitza, you cannot marry her. And therefore, if we would rabbinically require a person to do chalitza to the other wives, sounds like a wonderful idea, but we run the risk that people will do chalitza first and then yibum, and that's a law. Rashi. Dr. Rashi. Alam aloi, claimeth, ishne batim ba'alma p'tura. No, that's on the Gemara further. The Gemara is that's on the next Gemara. Correct the Gemara. Ve'ema ki ikachada tiskaya mitzvah. Ki ikatarti like tiskaya mitzvah. When there's one wife, then you should be mekayim the mitzvah of yibum. when a person, maybe the Torah only wrote Yibum when Reuven died and he had one wife. The Torah talks singular, Pesachev, one, not more. Maybe the Torah is saying that when there's more than one, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. How do you know that the Torah means one of many? Maybe the Torah means one when she's the only one. Right? Again, all these Sukkim told us, it's one, 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 one. Now, we understood it, one of many. Who says? Maybe the Torah wrote the mitzvah of Yibum when there is only one. When there is more than one, maybe the Torah didn't write the mitzvah of Yibum. Ve'ema, ki yikit chadat eskaya mitzvah Yibum. Ki yikit tarti, loit eskaya mitzvah Yibum. Emphat the Gemara, im kein tzaras erbet, asa rachman alamali. We had a pasuk that said, there is no mitzvah Yibum to tzaras erbet. Now, if there's no mitzvah Yibum to two women, period, so of course there's no mitzvah Yibum by the Tzaras Erva. Even if she weren't the Tzaras Erva, there would be no mitzvah Yibum. So obviously, the Torah must mean one of many, and the Torah is coming to say, but if it's Tzaras Erva, there's no mitzvah Yibum. When it's only two, you tell me they're not eligible for chalitza Yibum. So Tzaras Erva, mi boy, for sure Tzaras Erva. So it must be that the Torah meant one of many. Because if the Torah didn't mean one of many, why did the Torah write the halacha of Torah's Erev? Now, let me explain the next Gemara's question, and then we'll learn it inside. The Gemara's question is, no, maybe Yibum is only when somebody's making noise, can they mute themselves? Maybe the mitzvah of Yibum is only when there's one wife. Again, there's a background noise.
If you can hit star six, everybody will be muted.
I said I wasn't going to be able to ask questions.
Well, then they can unmute themselves by hitting star one, I think.
Okay. Maybe there's a mitzvah of Hebrew only when there's one wife. The Kiddush of Tzaras Erva, I would think the Erva is not considered a wife of the brother for Yibum. Since he's not eligible for Yibum, he only has one eligible wife, meaning like this. The answer we gave was, if there's no mitzvah Yibum when there's two wives, of course there can't be we don't need a halakha of Tzaras Erva. She's a second wife. But maybe, no. Maybe without the pasuk of Tzaras Erva, I would say when a person has an Erva and a Tzara, he only has one wife in the eligibility of Yibum. Because the Erva doesn't count. That's more applicable to Yibum than if it's two women that are not Ervas. Because by being an Erva, one woman is excluded from the picture. Whenever there's only one woman for Yibum, because I need Tzaras Erva to tell me that there's no Yibum. The fact that there's Tzaras Erva does not show us it's one of multiple. It could be that Tzaras Erva is necessary. You shouldn't think that the Tzaras Erva is the only one because the other one doesn't follow the Yibum because she's an Erva. So I need a pasuk of Tzaras Erva to say that she doesn't follow the Yibum either. Practically, my lama lie. Why don't I need the pasuk of Tzaras Erva, Yisrael? I would need a pasuk of Tzaras Erva even if I say that Yibum is only by one wife. Sagadai Tachamina Erva Avroi Kaima. The Erva is considered outside, which means she's not counted in the number of wives, but the Shavim Teresa, and the Tzara would be the only one. Therefore, I need a pasuk to tell me Tzara's Erva is Esther, Kamashma and Asira. So we're back to the question. Maybe the mitzvah of Yibum was only written by one wife. And the reason I need a pasuk for Tzara's Erva, because without a pasuk, she would be still one wife, because the Erva doesn't count. So to Gemara, Yevemta Reba. You're right. We have no answer to shrug it up like that. But the answer is the Torah Yevimta many times to tell me, even if there's more than one wife. The fact that the Torah repeated the word Yevimta so many times is to tell me that there's a mitzvah of Yibum, one of many, not just one of one. Rashi.
Didn't we learn that already?
I'm sorry?
Didn't we use that pasuk to teach us something else? Yevimta, we had that repetition. It taught us something different already, no?
That's doing Dvaz Kasha.
I'm on a roll this morning.
That's right. You're really on a roll. I don't know what you ate for supper last night.
Um,
So the Rizvan says different parts of the pasuk. You know, it gets very technical. Why the two Yevim ties extra, one for one, one for the other Limbus. Rashi. Alamalai Bitmiya. Question mark. Let me be stay back in Baalma Ptura. Even if two women would be putter, there's no mitzvah. Really, Yitzchak Lameza Tzaras Erva, I would still need a Pasuk to ask the Tzaras Erva. Because the Yitzchak talking about the Rabbi Erva Avroi Kaiba. I would think that the Erva is considered outside. When they ram Yekamein, she doesn't fall. So the Tzara is the only wife with the Shabbat. Kamash Malan. Just wanted to mention that the Shaila of the Trumas Hadeshin of a person who's Rachman al-Islam lost his wife. He wants to get remarried. And he's afraid that there'll be children from the second wife. And it'll cause a machlokes. Or his taking the second wife itself will cause friction between his children. Nothing to do with Hebrew. It'll cause friction between the children and the second wife. And he's trying to avoid friction. So he asked, does he have it? Should he get married? Right? Or should he stay? Can he stay single? Because he doesn't want to cause friction between his existing children and, one, a new wife, two, a new wife who might have children, and it will get in the way of, get in the way of Shalom Bayis. That's the question. So the Trumas Hadeshin says, a chiluk. And the chiluk is, he says there's two reasons for a person to get remarried. We're going to see later in the sixth parak that even though a person was Mekayim Puravu, he already has children, he should try to have as many children as he can. Because it's a mitzvah of Erev HaTanach Yodecha. We learn it out from a pasuk that a person should have children even if he gets older. That's what the pasuk says. And therefore, that obligation of the Trumas Hadeshin, we see from this Gemara that it's superseded by Shalom Bayis. The Raya is, here's a guy that has a mitzvah of Yibum, but we think they won't get along. We tell them, don't do your mitzvah of Yibum, do Chalitza instead. Now, when Yibum is around, Chalitza is not considered a mitzvah, right? We had back in the second parak that Chalitza doesn't count versus Yibum. In the hierarchy, we're talking that according to Abishol, right? If your person can do Yibum, he should do Yibum. Yet we're saying, if she's old and he's young, or he's old and she's young, or whatever, I might have repeated myself twice, whatever it is, when one party is old and one party is young, we advise them not to do Yibum because you shouldn't have Ktata. So that means that the mitzvah of Shalom Bayis supersedes the mitzvah of Yibum, Dukhalitza, even though it's secondary. Dr. Trumas Hadeshin. Therefore, if a person doesn't want to have more children because he doesn't want to have friction and he feels that it will make friction, it is an allowance for him not to have children with a second wife and not marry a woman that's capable of bearing children. Marry a woman that's past the age of bearing children or something like that. That's that Shiloh. But the Trumas Hadeshin says there's a second reason that a person should get remarried. And the second reason a person should get remarried is that he shouldn't be without a wife. Being without a wife, there's hirurim, there's all kinds of things that can come to his mind that can lead him to do isurim, and therefore we don't want a person to stay without a wife. We want everybody married. Therefore, that, he says, Ktata does not supersede. You can't say, the guy can't say, I won't get married because there'll be friction with my new wife. He might end up doing things that are wrong, being Maharu Bavera, because he has no pas besaloi, because he doesn't have a wife at home. That we don't find, Dr. Trumas Hadeshin, that the fear of fighting would overrule, because it's an isser that we're dealing with. A possible isser or probable isser that a single man might commit. Hiruri Avera, and it can lead to other things. Therefore, the Trumas Hadeshin says, to give him a heter not to have children, that we can do. Because that we see from our Gemara, that the fear of Shalom Bayis supersedes the mitzvah of Yibum. So if it supersedes the mitzvah of Yibum, and it's Amdu Chalitza, it supersedes the mitzvah of having more children. But, let me just finish. To say that he should remain single, and therefore deal with all the issues that single men would have to deal with, that Trumas Hadeshin says he has no heter for. The lack of Shalom Bayis with his children does not allow him to remain in a matzav where he might be susceptible for Esther. Yes?
So according to the first Teretz, the truth of Desha. And the pshat is we give some, we give a person the ability to say his shtikl Torah for friction. You know what I mean? We may give that opportunity for him to say that. Therefore, if a person, let's say, was Mekayim Puravu, okay, and he says, if I have, for just with one wife, and then he decides, you know what, if I have any more kids, I might not be able to take care of them properly, and there might be, you know, if I have too many kids, I'm saying this only as a Havamina, you know what, it's going to cause friction, maybe I can't economically take care of them. Do we give a person the ability to say that?
See, first of all, I would never posture this in a public setting. It's a very private shiloh. Number two is I would like to leave economics out of it. If a person says that my wife can't handle more kids because she'll be anxious and it'll cause huge fights, that's one shiloh. And that's a shiloh that Rabbanim deal with all the time, and I would never answer it in a neutral shir. But, the other side is economics. Economics become a very big thing because once you get involved in economics, you're dealing with your Rabbeinu Shlom providing parnasa. You're mechuyev to be mishtadel to do your parnasa. No, I'm going to say something that might stir a can of worms, but I'm going to say it anyway. Let me explain. You're mechuyev to be mishtadel to do parnasa. The chiyev mishtadel to do parnasa does not require that a person limit his children because of parnasa. That's not the hishtadlus for panasa. Now, hishtadlus for stolen bias allows, the Gemara says here, a person to limit his having children based on this Gemara that he limits his yibum. But that's the chiddush of the Gemara, that the Gemara is saying, because of a fight, we learn it out from a dibruei love, that the Torah allows that. But that's a chiddush. But the Torah says, for stolen bias, you can avoid having more children. Having more children with a second wife because of shalom bayis. I'm not posturing for one wife. I'm not going to do that in a dershul shir. However, that is a cheshbon that Rabbanim take into account all the time. However, once you get into finances, then you're saying that the hishtaglus of parnasa requires I limit my children. And that's a very, very big chiddush that we find no source for. Because if we are maminim b'nei maminim, that the Rabbanim Shlom provides parnasa, and the Torah never said have less children because of parnasa, you would have to find a source that should be permissible. Now, again, I'm differentiating between parnasa and fighting. Now, if one leads to the other, I'm not going to answer that question. Again, it becomes very subjective. But the answer that I don't want more children because I can't afford tuition, it rings hollow in the Gemara because you don't find any source that parnasa should be a reason not to have more children. Physical health, emotional health, mental health, all those things are factors. And again, I'm not posturing the shiloh. It's a very subjective shiloh. However, we never find a heter that because the person won't be able to afford it, therefore he should have less children. I know it's very popular. People like to think that way. But really, I don't see any mucker anywhere that parnasa should be a cheshbon. Because it's saying, Rabbeinu Shlom gives us parnasa Rosh Hashanah. So he's going to give us less because we have more children. You know what I mean? Shalom bias is different than parnasa. Parnasa comes from the Rabbeinu Shlom, whereas shalom bias is not the Rabbeinu Shlom gives the shalom. I mean, he's a shat in the Shmaya, but that's something it's a difference. I think it's different than the parnasa and shalom bias. If you leave parnasa out of it, you're 100% right that it is taken into account when a Rav gives him stock about whether people should have more children or not, and that's a very subjective shayla. Depends on the individual Rav. However, parnasa is a dangerous thing to put into there. I hope I answered your question. Next. Chaysa Agaf Kshero. Amar Rav Yosef. Kan Shana Rebbe. V'yishbach Adam Meboiroi V'acherim Tzichumah. This is what Rebbe taught us. This rule. This is talking about when one of the women was Kashu Lakuna and one of the women was Pasu Lakuna. So we say, if you do Chalitza, do it to the one that's Pasu Lakuna anyway. Why limit her chances of marrying a Kayan? So Rebbe taught us, don't throw away your water when others need it. Meaning, don't waste something when it can be used. Now this opens up again a whole discussion. Let me just do Rashi. The Mishnah Zul of Daniel Rebbe Leishbuk. And this Mishnah, Rebbe taught us this concept that don't spill out your water when others need it. The achronim is begat, however, that is only true if there are others that need it. But if a person has an item that no one needs and is not usable anymore, he can throw it away. It's not bal tashchis. It's only bal tashchis if he has something that could be used or somebody else is around that would use it. But if nobody would use it and nobody's interested in it, it's not bal tashchis to throw away. So if a person has old clothing and he has no place to donate his old clothing to, and no one needs his old clothing, he does not have to keep it in the closet because lo yishbechad the meivayer of achayim tzichim lehem. There's no one that needs it. There's no achayim tzichim lehem. Now, if he has an organization that collects old clothing and gives it out to people who need it, then it's achayim tzichim lehem. But if nobody needs it, so then it's not achayim tzichim lehem. Let's say it's so worn out that nobody would ever wear it, so throw it away. That's not called bal tashchis. In fact, achayim talk about a person who has a pit of water that nobody needs. And he was afraid to throw it away because it is Gemara. And he needed the empty pit, and nobody wanted his water. So they all answered him, if nobody needs it, throw it away. It's only when Acherim Tzichim Lehem. There's a kohen out there that might want to marry this woman, and you're limiting your options. However, if nobody wants it, nobody needs it, so then there's no answer of bal tashchis. Bal tashchis is only something usable, either by yourself or by somebody else. If nobody can use it, it's not bal tashchis. You're not mechuyev to store garbage, something that everybody considers garbage or unusable. Zakti Mishnah Vaitis. Hamachzir Gerushasai. V'anaisi Chavutzasai. Now the Gemara is going to delve into this Rabbi Akiva's opinion. The Gemara will try one thing and then come back with another, so we'll let the Gemara do its thing. I will just translate the words. Someone who divorces a woman and takes her back after she married somebody else. We've had this issur. It's called Machzir Gerushasai. There's a law in the Torah that says a woman that was married and then got divorced. Right? And then she married somebody else and gets divorced or widowed is not allowed to go back to her first husband. We've had that. That's what this mission is talking about. It's a law. Somebody gave chalitza to a woman, and then he married her. We had this as a lav, right? He's not allowed to do yibum once he did chalitza. So it's a lav. The third one is, now that is a chiddush. He married his chalitza's daughter, his chalitza's mother, his chalitza's sister, while his chalitza is still alive. Yaitzi, vavlad mamzer. They have to get rid of her. In all these three cases, because it's a lav. Now that's a chiddush, because we've learned that a relative of a chalutz is only rabbinic. And this seems to say it's biblical, and the Gemara will deal with it. And this is Rabbi Akiva talking. And Rabbi Akiva says that the offspring of a chayvi lav are mamzer. So therefore, yaitzi vavlad mamzer. He divorces her, and the kid from this relationship is a mamzer. That's what the Rabbi Akiva holds. This is going with the Rabbi Akiva's opinion that yes, mamzer mechayv elavim, that there is a mamzer from a union that is a chayv elavim. The Chachamim Aymim ain't about mamzer. The Chachamim's opinion is there's only a mamzer from chayv ekrisis. None of these listed in the Mishnah. Again, please, somebody is making noise. Please mute yourself. None of these mentioned in the Mishnah are chayv ekrisis. And therefore the Rachamar Chacham say it's not a mamzer because they hold that there's only a mamzer mechayv ekrisis. Avoid them. When I say kreivus gerushasai, person was married, divorced his wife, her sister, her mother, her daughter is a chorus shavlad mamzer. Rashi, hamagzer gerushasim shenisus, hanaisis chalutzasai, the kain ma'ala belav the shuv lo yivna to love. And I say, as Krivus Chalutzasai, the common boilam be Gemara, the Gemara is going to ask, a Krivus Chalutzasai lav deraisi. The Krivus of his Chalutza is not biblical. Yaitzi lav lav mamzer, the Saba Rebbe Kiva, yesh mamzer mechayv elavim. Rebbe Kiva holds that mamzer comes from chayv elavim. Krivus Gerushasai, the Gerushasai ki ishtai. His Gerusha is like his wife. Vachoysa'ima, and her sister or her mother, chayv ekrisis dinu, right? Divorcing does not permit any of her relatives. Even a sister who's permitted after the wife dies, is not permitted if the wife is still alive, even though he divorced her. Something you want to write to. The summer of Akiva Anoisa Kravis Chalutzosi Avlat Mamzer. Does Rabbi Akiva hold one who marries the relative of his Chalutza, the offspring is a Mamzer? The Amar Rish Lakish, Kan Shana Rebbe, earlier in the Mishnah, Rebbe taught us, Achayitz Gerusha Medivrei Taira, Achayitz Chalutza Medivrei Taira. It was the case over there when Reuben died, and then one of his brothers married his wife's sister. And it said, over there, that the Israel Achayitz Chalutza is only rabbinic. And here, it seems to say, that it's biblical because we're making a kid a mamzer. We don't make a kid a mamzer from a rabbinic violation, only from a lav. Dr. Gemara, Tani Kraivas Drushasa. You're right. Change the gears in the Mishnah. No one would say Kraivas Chalutzasa is biblical because Kraivas Chalutzasa is only rabbinic. Change it to a nice day Kraivas Drushasa. He marries the Kraivas Drushasa, right? And that's, if you read the Mishnah now, it reads like this. I will reread the Mishnah with the new Girsa. Hamamzer Grushasai, Vanoisa Chalutzasai, Vanoisa Kravis Grushasai, three Lavin, Yaitziv Avlad, sorry, the third one is Karas. Yaitziv Avlad Mamzer Divir Bekiva. The Chachamim Ayimim, Ein Avlad Mamzer in the first two, the Remaidim, the Kreisi Kravis Grushasai, Shavlad Mamzer. So if you read the Mishnah this way, the Rabbanan are saying, we argue on your first two, but we agree to number three. The way we change the gears to now, the Rabbanan are responding directly to Rabbi Akiva. You mentioned three cases. Well, we argue except in the third case. That's what we're going to say now. We're changing the gears to the Mishnah. And by changing the gears to the Mishnah, we now read that the Chachamim say, Ein Avlad Mamzer is not going in all three cases. It's going in two of the three. But they agree in number three, which is the Karas. Dr. Gemara Chanami Nistabra, the Mishnah reads better this way. Itani Seifa, who made them? Says the Rabbanan agreed, but now you say Kravis Grushasa Shavla Mamzer. Now, if you learn the first way, Kravis Grushasa was not mentioned. Why are the Chachamim agreeing to something Rabbi Akiva never said? Usually, when you say agree, if you say three things and I agree to one, so I say, I argue on two and I agree to one. But if you say three things and I disagree with all three, and then I say a fourth thing, then I'm not agreeing with you, I'm saying my own thing. The word agreeing seems to be I'm responding to what you said. You said one, two, and three. I disagree with one and two, and I agree to three. If you said one, two, and three, and I disagree with them all, then I don't say I agree to number four. There's nothing to agree. You never said number four. Right? That's the Gemara's Raya. Hakanami Mistapa, the Tani Sefer Umaydim, the Chachamim agree, but now say Kravis Gurushasai, Shavlad Mams. They are Mishloim Ayriba. If you say Rabbi Akiva was talking about that case as well, that was his third case. That's why it says they agree. They agree to one out of three. Eliyamet le'ayriba, my yomaydim. What do you mean they agree? Talk to Rashi. Amen. Kravis grushasay. Rabbanan amagzik grushasay. Medaisik halutzasay pligi. They're only arguing in the first two, which are lavin, which is to marry his grusha or to marry his chalutza.
Rabbi Akiva meant four cases instead? Could that be a possibility?
But he doesn't say four cases.
I think just like we're amending the Mishnah that way, maybe he meant, yeah. He said Krivis Grushasi and Krivis Grushasi.
Again, one amending, right, one amendment, I should say, answers Rabbi Akiva from the Kasha Chalutza's only rabbinic. Right? By amending it, we saved Rabbi Akiva from that question. How could you say it's a mamzer? It's only rabbinic. The second amending is what you want to do to answer the word of Maidim, but it doesn't answer the question of Rabbi Akiva.
Right, I know. Right? So you get both with one. Okay.
Yeah, but you're right. That it's not a good proof from a Maidim, because you might be right that the Rabbanan are agreeing, meaning like this. Not the way you said it, but a little bit different. Rabbi Akiva said, "Mam to Mechayv Elavin," and of course, from Chayv Ekrisus. And the Rabbanan responded, "No, from Chayv Elavin, but we agree by Chayv Ekrisus." So Rabbi Akiva never said Chayv Ekrisus, but it was implied. If you say "Mam to Mechayv Elavin," you're automatically saying "Mam to Mechayv Ekrisus." And Rabbanan are responding, "No, from Chayv Elavin, but yes, from Chayv Ekrisus." So therefore, the word "Maidim" does make sense. So it's not a proof. Dr. Gemara Vedilma. Hakamash Melody Yesh Mamzim Mechayv Krisus. Maybe the Rabbanan are not saying Maidim to one of the cases. They're saying Maidim to the concept of Mamzeris. You said Mamzeris Mechayv Elavin. We argue, but we agree by Chayv Krisus. That would not, what we're trying to take away is the Raya from the word Umaidim. The word Umaidim can make sense even if he's not directly responding to one of the three cases. Zog to Gemara, that wouldn't be a reason. That argument is listed later. If he's not responding to one of the three cases, why are we mentioning it here? It's a Mishnah later. Who is a Mamzer? Any relationship that has a lav. Right. So the Mishnah there clearly has that machlokes. There's no reason for the Mishnah to mention machlokes here. If he's responding to one of the three cases, if they're responding, so they respond here because he mentioned it here. But if they're responding to the concept of Mamzeris, that's a Mishnah coming up. There's no reason for them to mention it here. Maybe we want to write a Stam Mishnah like Rav Shimon HaTamani. So it's mentioned here as Chachomim. So we should know it's a Stam Mishnah that the Chachomim hold like Rav Shimon HaTamani. In Cain, listen to Shai Chai Vekrisis. If that were the case, they should just respond and say Chai Vekrisis. They did not have to say an exact case. Why are they picking a case? If this is a general argument about Mamzeris, so they should have said, we disagree with you on all three cases, but we agree on Mamzeris by Chai Vekrisis. Why do they have to give an example? Is a Raya, Oshmamina, Ayriba. He must have been talking about it. And that's why they responded with a specific case, because they're responding. So at this point, we are preserving the proofs in the word of Maidim, because Maidim seems to be they agree. Now, we wanted to say they agreed to the concept of Mamzeris. So we said, for that, they didn't have to give a specific case. They could have just said Chai Vekrisis. By giving a specific case, they're saying, we are talking about one of the cases you talked about. Zakti Gemara no Raya. But Duma Lailam Layariba. Maybe it's not one of the three cases. The Aydin, the Tani Mazik Rashasa, Vinaysa Chalutsasa, Krevis Chalutsasa. Since he said three cases, Tani Nami Krevis Rashasa, which is a similar case. The reason they were specific is because they were talking, he talked about three cases. They say we disagree with the three, but we agree to something similar, which is Krevis Rashasa. So therefore, the Raya. From Maidim is no Raya. Rashi. Dilma Kamashmal and the Eshmam to Bechayv Akrisis. Well, he comes. Avagav to Pligi Rabbana Bechayv Elavin. Right? Maidim hei Bechayv Akrisis. Shavla Mamza. Dilma Loi Lamayro. But the Kamad Lashmina Shai Chayv Akrisis. So why didn't he mention other Chayv Akrisis? Because I did the Tani that Reisha Magzu Grishasai Benayse Chalutasai Ukrayvet Chalutasai Pligi Rabbanan Alei and Rabbanan argue. Tani Nami Maidim Bekrevis Grushasai. So it says, the Maidim Bekrevis Grushasai. What's the Bach add? Right. Ella Krevis Chalutasai. Okay, that's on the next piece of Gemara. So the Gemara basically answered, we have no proof that we should change the Gersa. And therefore, as was pointed out earlier, we don't like to change a Gersa to Mishnah because of a question. If you had a proof, we would do it. But since you took away the proof, there's no reason to do it. Dr. Gemara, you're right. Rebbe Kiva Taka holds that Chalutza's relative is biblical. He disagrees what we said before, that Chalutza's relatives are rabbinic. He holds they're biblical. Rashi? Where the giveaway is in the Bach. Abba Krevitz Chalutzasai, Hachinami, the Rebbe Kiva Abi Mamzer. That means Rebbe Kiva disagrees with the assumption we had that Krevitz Chalutzasai is only rabbinic. He holds that Krevitz Chalutzasai is biblical as well. And Rabbanan disagree with all three cases, and they say we admit in a similar case. Fine. Everybody should have a wonderful day. Event Hashem tomorrow morning again at 6 o'clock.
Mazel tov again, Rebbe.
Mazel tov.